very unique name on that manuscript, and the name was Titidius Amerimenos. It's not a name that you hear on a regular basis, but it was really interesting because Titidius is a proper name. It means like Timothy or Paul or any one other proper name, but the last name, Amerimenos, actually is two words. Amerimenos is the word that actually means worry. And the A in front of it means the opposite, is one who never worries. And apparently this Titidius was a guy who initially worried all the time. I mean, constantly worried about his, you know, height, worried about his weight, worried about what he was going to eat, worried about paying the bills, worried about his kids, constantly worried. But something happened and he became Titidius Amerimenos, the man who never worried. And I think that's something that happened is he probably met someone who took care of his worries for him, and that someone being Jesus. And this morning, the hope that I think God wants to give you and to give to me is that each one of us can write at the end of our name, Amerimenos. Tommy Amerimenos, Tommy, the man who never worries. Or put your name in there, the one who never worries. Now that's the hope I think God has for each one of us this morning. The hard part is we've got this. And I'm going to say this balloon here represents worries that we carry, anxieties that have a tendency to just stick with us. This balloon says, get well soon. And there are a lot of people that they have a worry. The worry is they're not getting better. Or maybe they're not sure about what the days ahead are like. And there's something within us that thinks if I can just worry about that, somehow I can control that. But what we're going to see today, the hard part is I've got to take this worry and I got to say, I just got to let it go. I got to let it go. I got to entrust it to someone who actually cares more about that worry than I do. And this morning, Jesus is going to show us both why we can let go of those anxieties and how to let go of those anxieties. And he's going to do it when we open up our Bibles and look over at Matthew chapter 6. So if you got a Bible, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6. Some of you are wondering, when that balloon coming down? It's going to be there a while, but that's okay. Now, as you turn it over there, let me point this out because I think this is really important as we get started. What you need to know. Hear me. What we need to know is that if you struggle with anxiety, if worry seems to be your constant companion, it doesn't mean that you are bad. It means that you're normal. I mean, there's a reason Jesus said, do not worry, do not worry, do not be anxious, do not fear, because we constantly do. And he continually brings us back to his better way. So we need to sit with that and realize that that's part of being in this world. Second thing is that some anxieties are bigger than this sermon. And as much as many times that when it comes to me preaching, I'd love to be able to say everything that could possibly be said about any subject in about 30 minutes, or sometimes 40 or 45. It's just not possible. And some of you, you're struggling with things and you're going to walk out of here and say, you didn't really address what I'm going through. I want you to know that's why we have a counseling center. And we like to emphasize that the church is the one place where it's okay to not be okay, because that's what God does, is bringing us to himself in our state of not okayness. And Dr. Brent Gray and our counseling center do a fabulous job of helping us walk through difficulties of life. So we need to understand that. And the third thing is, before we jump into this passage, is this. When God says, don't worry, he's not saying, throw caution to the wind. That's not what he's saying. I like the way that William Barclay puts it here. William Barclay said, Jesus is not advocating a shiftless, thriftless, reckless, thoughtless, improvident attitude toward life. He is forbidding a careworn, worried fear which takes all the joy out of life, because Jesus didn't come to make life more difficult. Jesus came that we might find life, that we might find joy and find it and have it to the full. So let's pray to that end as we open up this passage this morning. Join me if you would. God, we do come in here, and all of us are a part of the human race, and we all worry. We all have anxiety. Some of them, God, are huge. Some not so much, but they have a way of distracting us from what's most important. So I would pray and ask that you might open our eyes to hear, Lord, what you have to say, and that each one of us can learn to let go and why we can and how we can as we see your better way. Give us clarity on that, Lord. We need it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get ready to read this passage, let me kind of take you a little bit of a journey in terms of what we're going to look at. We're going to read through Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 25. We're going to go to verse 34. And I want us to drill into this word anxiety and anxious, because I think it's a word that we understand and sometimes we don't understand as well. And Jesus is going to talk about it, so we will as well. And then Jesus is going to take us on a nature walk. And we need to walk with him on this nature walk. And then as we go on this nature walk with Jesus, he's going to ask you and me a couple of questions. And we need to sit with those questions. Then after that, he's going to get down to the root of the problem. Really, when we worry, what's the root of the problem? He's going to help us to see the root of the problem. And then he's going to point us to his better way. And I want to see this as we walk through. So I'm going to read through the entire passage, and then we'll come back and we'll look at it a little bit more in depth. So Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Check them out, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. And sometime you get an opportunity, I think it's about 1 Kings 10, and you'll see how Solomon was arrayed in the splendor of his kingdom. It was amazing. He goes on, and he said, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what are we going to wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father, he knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I told you, we're going to take a look at this word anxious, so let's start right there. And when Jesus begins, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. The word anxious shows up 6 times in this passage. And 3 times he says to us, do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. So we need to understand just exactly what does he mean when he says anxious. And he begins this with the word what? What's the first word there in that line? Therefore. So whenever we see the word therefore, we always have to ask ourselves, what is the therefore, therefore? We do. And what it's there for is to point us back to what came before it. And it's in understanding what came before it that we begin to understand a little better what Jesus is talking about when he uses the word anxious or anxiety. So I want to read verses 19 to about verse 24. Here's what Jesus says. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. There's 2 different kinds of treasures. Then he goes on. He said, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. I know what he's talking about because I wear contact lenses, have for about 30, 40 years. And when I'm reading, I wear reading glasses over my contact lenses. That's how bad my eyes are. So without them, I'm not in a good spot. I've got to be able to look through there to see what I need to see. In the same way, Jesus says, the more our eyes are focused on what's important, the better we are. The more they're focused on what's not, the worse we are. We have kind of 2 different ways that our eyes can go. And then he's going to pick it up in verse 24. No one can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Here's what Jesus is saying. There are 2 treasures. Boom, boom. There's 2 ways your eyes can look. This way and this way. There are 2 different kinds of masters. This one and that one. And if you don't know which one is important, here's what you're going to do. You're going to be like at a tennis match sitting right at the net. And instead of being focused on one thing, you're overly concerned about things you cannot control on other things. And that is part of the essence of anxiety. There is a Russian proverb that says, the person who tries to chase two rabbits will not catch either. And that's anxiety. I'm trying to chase rabbits, one that I cannot catch and that I do not have control over. He's talking about this as he walks us through. So the difference between being concerned about something that we have control over and being overly concerned about things over which we don't have any control. And what's interesting about the word anxiety is it's used in the scriptures both in a negative way, but it's also used in a positive way as well. So if I were to go over to Philippians chapter 4, there's a verse that many of you are probably familiar with, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything. It's kind of in a negative way. Don't get anxious. But then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul's writing and he's talking to the Philippian church about his friend whose name is Timothy. And he says about Timothy, for I have no one like Timothy who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. The word anxious and the word concerned are exactly the same word translated two different ways in the English language. But in the original language, they're the exact same word. So what is anxiety? Anxiety is being concerned, but literally overly concerned about many things over which I do not have control. So I put it up here. Being overly concerned about that which I cannot control, it's thinking that my concern can actually bring about some control. If I'm just concerned enough about my kids, I can determine how they're going to be. We know that's not true. And if I just can be thinking enough about this job, we know that's not true, but we act as if it is true, that if we're concerned enough and we worry enough, somehow we can control it, and we can't. So where are you being distracted? Where are you being overly concerned about things over which you have no control, and you need to let that go and put that in the hands of God? To be anxious is to be overly concerned over that which we absolutely have not control, and it makes us divided and distracted, and we walk around like this when God has not designed us to live that way. So Jesus wants us to see this. So he's going to take us on a nature walk. And on that nature walk, here's what he says in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? It's like, look closely. Gaze intently. Hang with me. There was a time several years ago when I was kind of walking through this passage, and I was sitting on my back porch. And as I'm sitting on my back porch and I'm reading these words, consider the birds. Look at the birds. A flock went right by. It's kind of one of those providential deals. Same thing happened yesterday afternoon as I was working on this message, just outside of my window. And God's like, look at those. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet, consider this. I take care of them. Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? And then he says, consider the lilies of the field. Consider them. Because not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like, it's amazing. And he comes up with these questions and he says, hey, if I clothe them, you know, and it's like here today, tomorrow it's going to be in the oven, it's going to get burned up. Don't you think I'm going to clothe you? And if I feed the birds, who are nothing relative to you. You're the crowning achievement of my creation. And if I take care of them, don't you think I'm going to take care of you? And when it's all said and done, can all this worry actually even add 1 hour to your life? And the answer is no. And Jesus comes back and he wants us to hear this. He wants us to really sit with this. Tommy, you got to You got to gaze at those birds. Just sit with that. I take care of them. He said, you've got to look and consider how I clothe the grass of the field and the beauty of the wildflowers. They're here and then they're gone. You're my crowning achievement. If I take care of them, don't you think? I got you. I'm going to take care of you. And essentially what Jesus is saying is, you can trust me. You can trust me with that which concerns you. Peter writes about the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Here's what he says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. It's really interesting. The word casting is the same word that's used in the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, when the disciples took their cloaks and they threw them on the donkey. They had them and they got rid of it and they laid it on top of the donkey. Same word he uses right here. He said, what is it that you're holding on to, thinking it's kind of your security blanket, your worry? I gotta, if I don't think about this, no one else will. He said, take this and cast it. Cast it on God's shoulders. Why? Because you are of great concern to him. And I think we need to let that sit with us as well, because certainly in a planet of 7 billion, God couldn't be intimately concerned and intimately acquainted with me. Well, if he's God, yes, he can. And yes, he does. And yes, he is. So I can take that and I can cast that on him and let him worry about it. I heard a story one time about a guy who was in kind of a bad way. He's kind of like Titius Maramenus. He's constantly worrying. He's worrying about, you know, he's worrying about his job. He's worrying about his money. He's worrying about his retirement. He's worrying about his kids. He's constantly worrying, and everyone knew it. But one day, this guy walked into his office, and his friend could tell there is something different about this guy, because he's always like, oh, but he was chill, seriously chill. And his friend said to him, said, what's gotten into you? I mean, you're a consummate worrier. What's gotten into you? He said, oh. He said, I found out that I could pay someone to worry about my problems. Seriously? Oh, yeah, I got a professional worrier. Come on. No, sir, I got a professional worrier. A professional worrier? Yeah, I just let him worry about everything. He said, how much does it cost? He said, it's $5,000 a week. $5,000 a week? Are you kidding me? He said, how are you going to pay for that? I'll let him worry about that. That's kind of the idea in terms of what goes on when Jesus said, here, cast all your cares upon me. Let me worry about it. Let me take it. I've got this. Well, Lord, I hear you, but how do I do that? And here's one way we do it. Whenever we worry, we pray. Hallelujah. Whenever something begins to enter into our mind and we sense that we're starting to get scattered, we stop and we literally give that to God. Coming in this morning, I got to say, God, you got this message. You know, I'm always a little concerned. How's it going to turn out? Let that go. You've got that. We got a place up in Arkansas, and I'm not there half the time. Actually, I'm not there vast majority of the time. It's 1,100 miles away. Who's going to take care of that? God, you know it better than we do. It's yours. I'm not going to worry about that. My grandkids, we got a lot of them. And you know, the more kids you have, the more you just got to realize, the more worries you have. And I've got to start thinking of this one and that one. And some of them climb trees. And I mean, they go sky high up in these trees. Like, oh, I did the same thing. But now that I'm older, it's different. And I just got to say, God, I cannot let my mind run to something about which I have absolutely no control. Lord, you've got this. And turn them over. And this is part of what he's coming back to us. And the message that we see there is casting all your cares on him. How? Because every time when something causes us to get overly concerned, we stop at that moment and we give it to God in prayer. Prayer and partnerships. Partnerships is the second gift that God gives us, and that is people in the family of God with whom we can share what we're going on, what's going on in our lives. Oftentimes we walk through life and we really kind of soldier it alone. We think we got this and we can carry this, and inside we're getting all torn up. But God has put people all around you that would be delighted to hear what's going on in your life, so that they in turn can come alongside and say, God's got this. God's got you. We ask 9 questions around here, try to ask 9 questions on a consistent basis. Question 5 is, what will it cost you to walk with the family of God this week? And part of what it costs is taking that time for me to share what's going on in my life and for you to hear it and then for you to enter into and just remind me of what I already know. God's got it. Let it go. He'll take care of you. And then for me to have the privilege of doing the same thing for you. And that's part of how we do what Jesus is, casting all your cares upon him. Prayer and the partnerships that God gives us. And it's a beautiful thing, which is why when you come to church and you come solo and you walk out solo and you walk through the life solo, it's not a bad thing. You're just missing out on one of the great things God has for you. So we're pushing. Jump into a life group. Jump into a life group. God does great things there. And then he gets down to the root of the problem. Here's what he says in verse 30. Down to the root of the problem. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? In other words, you're putting your confidence being able to work out all these things in life in yourself. You're essentially saying, I got this, when you're not made to walk that way. You're made to have your confidence rest in God alone, who saves you, carries you, will ultimately take you where he wants you to go. And that's why it's a sin to worry. It's a sin to worry, not because anxiety is a bad thing. It's a sin to worry because when we're worrying, we're thinking, how am I going to? As opposed to, God, you will do. And there's a big difference there in the midst of that. And really, when it gets right down to it, there are 2 ways to live. One of the ways is self-confidence. I can walk through life and I can put my life together and I can make it work and I can get it all figured out and I'm going to be okay. Or it says God confidence, that God's got it. God's made me to know him. God's provided a way for me to enter into relationship with through Jesus. And so I'm putting my faith in him and I'm following Jesus and I realize I don't have any control when it gets right down to it, but he does. And so I'm choosing to rest my confidence in him who loves me, in his son who died for me, in his son who rose again to give me life. God, I'm resting there. That's the root of the problem. I think I can handle it. And I can't. And neither can you. So God's given us a better way. And his better way comes to us really clear in verse 33. He says, therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And I love this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. And it's actually a direct contrast to what he had just talked about in verses 31 and verse 32. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, they run after all those things. But you, don't run after all those things. You run after the one who gives all those things. Seek first his kingdom, the rule and reign of Jesus, and walking in the way that Jesus delights, which is essentially Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. That's the way of God. He said, put your focus there. And when I go into work, it's like, God, how can I honor you with this job that you've given me? And when I'm raising my kids, God, how can I pour into them in ways that please you, that point them to you and pray for them? And when I'm in a spot where I'm in a difficulty, I'm at odds with someone, I'm thinking, okay, it's about the rule and reign of Jesus. Lord, how do you want me to enter into this disagreement? What's a way that honors you and furthers the cause of the kingdom? He said, that's where my focus goes. Well, how do I do that? Kind of the same thing. It's prayer. I mean, prayer. I love the guy, he's sitting there and he's praying, Lord, so far today, I've not been anxious. I've not been distressed. I've not been worried about a thing. But I'm going to get out of bed in about 2 minutes. And it's all going to change. You know, it's all going to change. So there has to be that sense in which I'm coming and I'm praying and saying, God, help me put my focus on you, because there's all those things around me that have a tendency to grab my attention. Put my focus, same thing again, partnerships. Who are the people that God's put in my relationship to help me continue to keep my eyes focused on Jesus? And then the platform. Tim was sitting right in here. Oh, he had to go teach class, I think, Timothy Torres. But God has given each one of you a platform upon which you can stand in order to witness and serve. And here's what happens. If my eyes are focused on all the things that cause me concerns, I will be distracted from what's most important, God and his kingdom. But if I'm up and I'm praying and saying, God, help me to put my focus there, and I'm partnering with other people who are like-minded that say, Tommy, God's got better things for you. Keep your focus there. He's got a better way. And then I'm looking for that kingdom platform. It's amazing how those concerns, they don't disappear, but they begin to drift away because they take their proper place, and their proper place is at the feet of Jesus, not in the forefront of my mind or yours. And then he says this, in all these things, this is his promise, in all these things, the food, the clothing, the shelter, I'm going to take care of you. It's called a divine passive. You just sit still, and God says, me, because I love you, I'm going to make sure that all those things come your way. I got you. I got this. I got you. Keep your focus here. I like to say the most important part of any message begins when we walk out the door. But I really think today the most important part of the message begins right now. Right now. If I'm holding that balloon of anxiety and worry, what are you holding on to? What do you think that by your worrying somehow you could control? What is it that you're holding on to? Jesus said, do not be anxious. Take that thing and throw it over on me. Or to use the analogy, let it go. Cast all your care upon him. He will and does care for you. Would you join me in prayer? I want you to picture in your own mind Titius Epimenos, the man who never worries, the one who never worries, and just put a blank there. Instead of his name, put your name. Tommy Epimenos, the one who never worries. Bill, the one who never worries. Sally, the one who never worries. God's got a better way than living in fear, than living in anxiety. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek him through prayer. Seek him in partnerships with other people. Seek him by standing on that kingdom platform. And all these things, he said, the dailies, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of you. Father, we give you thanks this morning. And Lord, we know that this topic is in some respects, it's a real easy topic, and in some respects, it's a very difficult topic. And I thank you, no matter where we are in the anxiety spectrum, what might be little things in our mind or what might be huge things that just continually occupy our attention and cause us not to even be able to function, that by your grace, we can experience a little bit more of that mindset of no more anxious days. Look into that one day when that will be reality in full. And now, God, may you help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to fix our eyes on Jesus, on your kingdom, on your righteousness, knowing you got this, and letting go of that balloon. We give you thanks for the morning. We give you thanks for the hope and the confidence that's ours for uncertain days, because you are very certain, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to stand, and our team's going to lead us as we close out.